He's alive, you know. And that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight, that God is real. We serve a real God. We serve a living God. We don't serve some dead God that's not involved in our lives. But our God is alive, and he's with us, and he's real. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. So we're going to look at one of the Psalms. I think it's a good psalm to look at to show that God is real and alive and active in our lives. It's Psalm 115. So if you want to open your Bibles and turn to Psalm 115. Let's pray for a second. Father, I thank you that you are a real God, that you're not some make-believe, you're not some made-up, you're not some man-made thing, but you're real and you're alive and you're well. And Father, we just proclaim you tonight. Be glorified tonight. Be glorified in this study. Be glorified in my words. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Psalm 115, the first verse says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy true sake." Just right off the bat, you know, we want to remember that. Give God the glory. It's a strange way to start a psalm. I always thought it was kind of strange to start with, "Not unto us, O Lord." But it's good because it lets us know right from the start that we're not supposed to get any glory. So sometimes when God is moving and we're moving along with God, sometimes we feel like, "Wow, God is really using me." You know, you feel like you're somebody. And you start tasting some of God's glory. Right from the start, you got to say, "Not unto me, Lord, not unto me. You get all the glory, and we glorify you because of your mercy, because of your goodness, and for the sake of your truth." So right off the bat, we got to know, because God does move, and he uses us. God's alive, and he uses us. In verse number two, it says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" You know, sometimes the lost or the nations, the people say, "Where is God? Where's your God?" You know, you're always talking about this God. Where is he? You know, why should they say that? Why should the lost ask us, "Where is your God?" It's a good question. You know, with all going on in the world, all the crime, the COVID virus, the racial tensions, you know, all the financial problems, people out of work, all the police problem, the police brutality, all this corruption in the government, even wearing masks, you know, people want to say, "Well, where's your God? You know, where's God in all this?" Sometimes even we ask that, you know, we get caught up and we ask ourselves, "God, where are you? God, where are you? I know you're real, I know you're alive, I know you, but where are you?" Well, verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens." Amen. Well, we need to, where are the heavens? What's the heavens? "He has done whatsoever he hath pleased." God's in heaven. He does whatever he wants. He's God. He can do what he wants. And he's doing what pleases him. His will is done. When we read God is in heaven or God is in the heavens, he's not like sitting up there some unconcerned king. You know, sometimes if you look at movies and they show Greek or Roman guys, he's guys sitting up in heaven, women sitting up in heaven, just looking down. You know, that's not our God. He's not some unconcerned God that's just sitting on a throne, unconcerned about us. He's our Father. We're his children. And he's very much alive, very much concerned, very much working. He's always working, like that song we sing. He's always working, even though we don't see it. Even though we don't feel, he's always working. He's always there. He's always doing things. You know, God is God, and he can do whatever he wants, but he's always doing something. He's real. Verse number 4 says, talking about false gods, you know. Let's not get to verse 4 yet. Let's look at verse 3. I didn't finish talking about verse 3 because we're talking about God is in the heavens. Let's consider, what is the heavens? When we say God is in the heavens, if you a good chapter that talks a little bit about heavens, and has a lot of verses about heaven and heavens, is Deuteronomy chapter 4. So if you want to turn there, you can look at this and we'll see what the heavens are. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is the verse where Moses is preaching. It's right before he preaches in Deuteronomy chapter 5. He preaches the Ten Commandments again. Moses is talking about when God appeared at Mount Horeb. If we look at, we'll start with verse 10. And, you know, Moses is saying, verse 10, Deuteronomy 4, verse 10 says, "Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb." You know, this is, he's talking to the nation of Israel. He's talking about especially that day when you stood before God at Horeb. He said, "Gather me the people together." And God said, you know, "Gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children," that they may teach their children. And this verse 11, "And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven." The mountain burned, and there was like up to the fire went up to heaven. What is this heaven? This is the heaven that's right above the mountain. It's the heaven that's the sky, the heaven that's all around is air. That's what this heaven is. This is one picture of heaven, that the fire went up around the mountain into heaven, you know, with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. That's one description of what heaven is. It's just the atmosphere around the mountain, up into the sky, up into the heaven. Verse 17 tells us a little bit more about what heaven is. It says, you know, we're not to make any, or the telling the nation of Israel not to make any likeness. Verse 17, "The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air." That word air is also translated right above. It's the same Hebrew word that we read in verse 11. It's translated the air here. So the air around us, the air that the birds fly in, that's described as heaven. So God is in the atmosphere above the mountain. God is in the air that the birds are flying in. And then if you look in verse 19, another verse that talks about heaven, it says, "And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven." This is the the sky in heaven, the universal. When you look up at them, you see all the universe. That's the heaven. So we see heaven is the air around, you know, the sky right above the mountains. It's the air right around where the birds are flying. And then it also, heaven is the universe up there, the stars and the moon and the sun. That's all heaven. And then we continue with that verse, should be, you know, stopped up at the host of heaven, that's the stars and the moon. "Shouldest be driven to worship them." You know, you don't want to be worshiping. He's telling the nation of Israel not to worship the stars and the moon and all those hosts of heaven, "and serve them which the Lord thy God has divided," or has given, "unto all the nations under the whole heaven." So this is like the heaven that is just around us, the whole heaven. So that's what heaven is, not just the heaven when we think of God's home, because that certainly is one of the things that heaven is described as. But heaven is all the air that we breathe. That's part of heaven. Heaven is the sky above the mountains. It's the sky that we see. It's the heavens of the stars and the moon and the sun. That's the heavens. Heaven is also God's home. And then if you look in verse 26, it says, "I call heaven and earth to witness." This is what Moses is saying. If you sin against the Lord, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. So heaven and earth, here, this is like creation. Heaven and earth, all of creation, like in Genesis 1:1, where it says God created the heaven and the earth. So we want to think of where God is. God is everywhere. You know, our God is everywhere. Where is your God? God is everywhere. Now, sometimes we feel the manifested presence of God, but that, you know, that's a special presence of God. But God is everywhere. He's in the heavens and the earth. He's everywhere. And right there, while we're in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 28, gives us a little preview of what we're going to be talking about tonight, where he says, serving other gods. He said, and there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. That's a little preview, you know, of what the verses in chapter, with Psalms chapter 115 talks about. That's what we're going to talk about, you know, that our God is not like these gods that don't see and hear and smell, and not made with men's hands. That's not our God. But let's continue in verse 4 of Psalm 115. Verse 4 says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. So, you know, people say, well, I don't worship any idols. I don't have any idols in my house. Well, you might. You might have some little idol, some little statue, something that you don't worship it, but you might need to get rid of it. It's not real. It doesn't have any, might have eyes and noses, and but it's not something that's alive. It's man-made. But another thing that's kind of interesting, their idols are silver. That word silver in the Hebrew is also translated money. Money, who? People say, I don't serve money. How many people do we know? How many people do serve money? I mean, money is what brings them peace. Money brings them security. Money brings them joy. All the things that you think you should get from the Lord, some people think they get it from money, but they don't. Money, and another thing about money, I've looked at money from all over the world. I've seen money from China, from Russia, from Korea, from Yugoslavia, and America. I've seen American money. And you know what? Every money has, every dollar, every ruble, every yuan, every denarius, whatever they have, has a picture of a person on it. They have faces. They have eyes and noses and mouths. So it's just like it says here, you know, just like it says, but, well, you know, we don't serve a God that's the work of men's hands. We don't serve a God that someone made. We serve a real God. Wasn't made by anybody. If something is made, something is man-made, you treat it as God, it's temporary. It's not going to be around long. Our God is eternal. And if something was man-made, you know it's not real, it's not living. Our God is a living God. The psalmist goes on to describe these false gods. He says, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. So, you know, what the psalmist is saying is these idols, these gods that people worship, or these false, I don't think many people today have idols. We're not in America. Maybe in some other countries they might have some idols, some statues that they worship. But really, most people would tell you, I don't have an idol. I don't have any idols. I don't have any idols with eyes and noses. But the way this is written, the psalmist is telling us that these idols don't see. They don't speak. They have ears, but they don't hear. They don't hear. They have hands, but they don't handle. But our God does. You see, that's what it is. Our God does all these things. He says, it's kind of like read into there, your false idols, they don't do any of these things. But I do. You know, that's what God is saying. They don't speak. They don't hear. They don't smell. They don't touch. But I do. You know, God is telling us that He does. He speaks to us. He does. God speaks to us. These false idols, they don't speak. But we need to listen to Him. We need to listen to God. When He speaks to us, mostly He speaks to us through His Word. At times, He might speak to us in our spirit. We may need to make a decision about something, and you know, we read the Word, and there's nothing specific that the Bible tells us to do or not to do about the situation, but we have it in our heart. You know, we have a peace. The Lord is telling us, yeah, that's my will. Do that. So God's speaking to us. You know, He does speak to us. Our spirit hears from Him. So we know that God does speak to us. He's not a false God. He's not an idol. He's not a man-made God. But He's real and He's alive and He's always speaking to us. The false idols, they don't see. They have eyes, but they don't see. But God sees. God sees what's going on. He knows whatever your problem is. He sees it. He knows it. He knows what we're going through. He knows what we need. He knows what we need. And, you know, He knows what's going on in our lives. He sees it, and He knows it. And He knows what we need. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, in verse 14, it's the story of Abraham when he goes to sacrifice his son. And he says that the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide a sacrifice. That's that verse that the Lord sees. So sometimes the word see is translated provide. You know, our God provides. In fact, the name we use for God, one of the names we use, Yahweh Jireh, it really means, you know, yeah, our provider, but in Hebrew it means a God who sees, a God who sees. God sees to it. You know, so He knows when we have a need, He sees we have a need, and He provides. Our God is a living God. He's real. And God hears. God hears our prayers. God hears not only our prayers, He hears everything we say. So we need to watch our words, because God hears. You may think, well, you're driving in a car, you know, and you're, nobody heard that. God heard. God heard what you said. And then, you know, Jesus tells us, by your words, you'll be judged. By every idle word. You know, you give an account for every word, every idle word that you say. God hears. You know, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So watch what you say. God's always listening. God always hears, right? We were reading a little further, you know, it says, those gods have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. That's kind of funny to think that God has a nose. He smells us. I always thought, too, they have noses, but they smell not. I think some of those false gods probably do smell. They stink. And they stink in the nostrils of the Lord, too. So, you know, God does smell. And that's kind of a funny thing to think, that God smells. But what He smells is, if we're saved, He smells the sweet savor of Christ, you know. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, if you've repented of your sins, you smell like Jesus. And that's good. It's a sweet smell to the Father. You know, and when you think of that, it makes me think of a father who wanted to smell his son to see if he really was who it was. You remember when Isaac was blessing Jacob? He wanted to check to make sure he was blessing Esau. So he said, come a little closer. And he smelled him, you know. He wanted to know who he was. So by his smell, the father knew who the son was. See, that's true of us too. By our smell, the father knows that we're his children. If we're a saved child of God, then we smell like the Lord. And when the Lord smells, he goes, oh, that's my son. That's my daughter. He knows. Another thing that's interesting about smell, it's one of the senses that probably helps us to remember the most. You know, I mean, you see things and you hear things, but when you smell something, boy, your memory kicks in. Isn't that true? You know, I know it's true because when I got back, this is a little Katrina story. When I got back from Katrina, I took an 18-wheeler from Colorado. Betsy stayed back in Colorado. And when I got back to my dad's house, I opened the door and went up to our bedroom, and I could smell Betsy's perfume. I could smell her in there, you know. And talk about just, you know, in all that trouble and all that damage, all that ugliness, it gave me such a peace, you know, to smell my wife in that room, you know. So that's the same thing with God. When he smells us, he remembers that we're his children. No matter, you know, sometimes we mess up, but he remembers we're his children. Another thing about this word smell, the word nose is sometimes translated anger. In fact, it's translated more, the Hebrew word that's used here for nose is translated more anger and wrath, you know. That's interesting that our God is a God who does get angry, you know. He's angry with the wicked every day. We stand on his promise that he's slow to anger, but our God does get angry with the wicked, and he's angry with us. If we sin, we better repent quick, because that, you know, we don't want to angry God. We want to smell good to God. We want to smell like Jesus. We don't want to rile up his anger. You know, so the false gods they have noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. You know, we think God has hands. Our Father has hands. But not really. You know, God doesn't have any of these anthropomorphic things. God is spirit, you know. But we understand that what you do with hands, you know. This is the same story with Isaac and Jacob. When Isaac wanted to make sure who he was going to bless, he wanted to feel. He wanted to feel to make sure it was Esau. Right. And Isaac felt Jacob, but Jacob had on goat skins. So it's the same idea that God knows who we are. He feels us. He feels us and knows who we are. It's just a good thought that, you know, that God knows us. It's also, when we think of hands, we think of power. You know, God has power in his hands. Hands are a picture of the power, you know, the power of God's hands. So we want to think that God has hands, and he does touch and he does feel us. You know, he's a God that's alive. He's not a dead God who's not concerned, but he's concerned about us. You know, he loves us. He cares for us. He knows who we are. We can't fool him. You know, Isaac was fooled by Jacob, But the Father's not fooled by us. And
that's right.
We can't disguise ourselves. So He knows who we are. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. And God knows
right.
everything about us.
Even when we wear a mask.
Even when we mask, right. You know, you can wear a mask, but God can see who you are and feel who you are and smell who you are.
Right.
Another, if we go down, it says, these false gods, feet have they, verse 7, feet have they, but they walk not. You know, if you think, what do you do with feet? You go, you walk. You know, we know that God goes with us. No matter where we are, God goes with us, and we can walk with God. Such a good thought that when we walk, God walks with us. You know, we read that God walked in the Garden of Eden to be with Adam and Eve. You know, God walks with us. He's with us. Enoch walked with God. It says Noah walked with God. These were men who were precious to God. They walked with God. So if they walked with God, God walked with them. They were walking together with God. And it's nice to think that, you know, all the times that we're alone or we feel like God's not with us, God's walking with us. He's always with us. And then we finish in verse, did I read that? It says, they have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Here you go, that last part of verse 7. Neither speak they through their throat. Neither speak they through their throat. This is a different speaking, like when you're talking about speaking through your mouth, where God speaks to us with words. But this is a different kind of speaking. This word that's translated from the Hebrew "speak" could also be translated to ponder, you know, to meditate. You know, God ponders on us. He meditates on us. He thinks about us. That's a good thing to think about. You know, it's more than just talking with us. God thinks about us. He ponders our behavior. He studies what we're doing. You know, it's more than just watching us. He's actually thinking about us. You know. And that's a good translation, that God ponders us. He thinks about us. I'm not going to turn there, but a verse that talks about that same word where God speaks, it's when talking about Joshua. You know, he says, so Joshua 1, I can't find it in my notes. It's hard for me to read my notes. But I can read my Bible. Praise the Lord. Joshua 1:9. Just to give us an idea. Yeah, it's Joshua 1:8, not Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." That's the same word that's translated here in chapter 7 of Psalm 115, to meditate. So, you know, these idols, they don't think about you, but God thinks about us. God actually ponders about us, meditates on us. It's a good thought. So, and then if we continue on, verse 8 says, they that make these idols are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. So it says that those who make these idols, those who make these false idols, these false gods, they're like them. These false idols are dead. There's no life in them. So telling those that make, there's no life in those. People that trust in something besides our living God, they're dead.
Amen.
There's no life in them either. But then it kind of, because we're like our God. You know, those who make these false gods, they're like their false gods. But we're also to be like our God. We're children of the Father, so we're supposed to be like our Father. So that means we should do these same things that God does. And we need to be like God. We should be like God. We should speak. It's so important for us to speak. Speak about God. Tell people about God. You know, it's an important thing that we talk about God. You know, we tell people about God. We speak about God because God is real. And God speaks, we should speak. God sees, so we should see. We do see. Not only do we see with our eyes, but we see with our hearts. And like when we see something, we see a need, we should meet it. We should be like God. God sees and provides. When we see, if we can provide, we should provide too. God hears. We should hear. We should be willing to listen to people that are hurting. Listen to brothers and sisters who need you to talk with them. So we should listen. It's kind of funny that, you know, God, we say God smells. Well, we should be the same way. We should, you know, smell the goodness of fellowshipping together. Smell the goodness of being with brothers and sisters. Not that there's a real smell there, but it's, you know, we should know what it means. It's a pleasant thing to be together. God has hands. We should have hands. We should feel. When people are hurting, we should feel their pain with them. We should know who each other is. We should greet one another. We're like our Father. We have power in our hands. We should go. Your feet. God goes. You know, the scripture says go. Go into what? All the world. Preach the gospel. Go. Go and preach. We can go. God walks with us. We can go. And then this verse that we were talking about where these false idols don't speak through their throat. And we were talking about how it could mean that the Lord kind of meditates on us. Psalm 135 is very similar to Psalm 115. In fact, if you turn to Psalm 135, you see how it's almost the exact same words if you start in verse 15, Psalm 135. Verse 15. It's almost like the Lord is telling us this twice. In fact, this psalm is very repetitive. There's a lot of repetition. So if you turn to Psalm 135, verse 15, it says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands." It's almost exactly the same as Psalm 115. "They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths." Well, that verse was not in Psalm 115. Neither is any breath in their mouths. Neither is any breath in their mouths. The word breath is the same. In fact, it's more often translated spirit than it is breath. "Neither is there any spirit in their mouth." Then just if you look back, it's like they don't speak through their throat. It's not a loud speaking through their throat. It's not the spirit speaking through their throat. I think it could almost be praying in Holy Spirit, you know, where the Holy Spirit is coming out of our mouth. It's like words are not able to be said. You know, the kind of idea like the throat kind of sounds like a. Not really speaking through your mouth, but speaking words that you don't understand from the throat. It's kind of like trying to You know, not really words that come out of your mouth, but coming from deep within. So that could be, you know, the Lord telling us that we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. We need to be praying more and more in the Spirit, that the Spirit is coming out of our mouth. The Spirit is coming out of our throat. So a good thought, you know. We don't realize sometimes, well, I mean, the more I study the Word, the more I see how consistent it is. Every chapter and every book seems to tie together. You know, so the Old and the New Testament tie together too. So it's just that the more you study God's Word, the more you see how real He is and how real His book is, how real His Word is to us. So it says, back to Psalm 115, because I want to stay with Psalm 15. It says, they that make them alike unto them, so is everyone that trusts in them. They're trusting in something dead. But we can trust in our God. Then it tells us, and it's repetitive, verse 9, Israel, trust thou in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. Verse 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. Verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. It's almost like we need to get this message. He's going to say it three times to us. He's going to repeat it over and over again. O Israel, trust in the Lord. Israel is the people of God. We don't replace Israel. And, you know, the church is not Israel. We're not Israel. Israel is still Israel. But Israel was the people of God. And if we're born again, we are the children of God. Israel was God's children. If we're born again, we believe that Jesus is our Savior, then we're the children of God too. So He's talking to us. O Israel, O children of God, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. Boy, is that something today's world, we all need help. Cry out, God, I need your help. I'm in trouble. Something's not working for me right now. I always need God's help. Amen. And I always need God to be my shield. Amen. You know, a defense, a shield when things are happening. Shield me. I always think of the armor of God, the shield of faith, which is able to stop all the fiery darts of the enemy. But that's what we need. We need a shield. And God is our shield. We need that shield of faith and God to be our shield to protect us. So it's good to hear that. And then again, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. House of Aaron, how does that apply to us? Aaron was, the house of Aaron were the priests. You know, we are the priests today. We don't have ordained priests. All the saints are priests. We can all come before the Lord. We don't need a priest. We are the priests ourselves. So this is talking again to us. O house of Aaron, the priest, trust in the Lord. He's saying it again a second time. He is your help. He is your shield. We need to hear this. We need to know God is, trust Him. God is our help. God is our shield. Trust Him. Ye that fear the Lord. Well, that should be us. We should fear the Lord. If anything, not in a horror fear, like you fear some horror something. In fact, if you fear God, you don't have to fear anything. You know, God, those who fear the Lord shouldn't have to fear anything else. Because perfect love casts out fear. You know, if you have the love of God in you, you can not have any fear. Well, those who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. That's us again. So it's like He's talking to us three times. Trust the Lord. He's your help. He's your shield. Trust the Lord. He's your help. He's your shield. Trust the Lord.
He's your help. He's your shield. That's the way we learn.
Tell me again. Did I miss it the first time? You did. So I'm telling you again. Trust the Lord. No, no question about it. You didn't miss it the first time. I didn't hear that right. Lord said it again. I did hear it right. He repeated it. Sometimes that's what we need. We need the Lord to repeat His encouragement to us so that we don't give up. Is that really what you said? Did you really tell me to trust you, that you're going to be my shield, that you're going to be my help? Yes! That's what He's saying. Trust the Lord. Trust me. And then, verse number 12. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. The Lord has been mindful of us. Again, you know, this is the Lord is mindful. He thinks about us. Again, the word mindful is translated more times remembers. God remembers us, you know. He remembers who we are. He remembers that we're dust. He remembers that we're just flesh and blood. He remembers that we're just His needy children. He remembers us. So it's good to know that, you know. God is mindful. God remembers us. And then He says, He will bless us. That's good. We want God to bless us. But he repeats it. He says, He will bless the house of Israel. In case we didn't catch it the first time, He says, He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. Verse 13, He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. So will the Lord bless us? He will bless us. There's no question about it. He says it four times in case we are not paying attention. He will bless you. He will bless you, His children. He will bless you, His priests. He will bless you if you fear Him. He says He will bless the small and the great. Well, you know, you think, well, I'm not anybody special. Why is the Lord going to bless me? Well, He blesses the greatest and He blesses the least. We're all the same, really, in God's eyes. There is no one who deserves any more or any less blessing. But you think, well, I'm just a small thing in the world. God says He'll bless you, even if you're the least, even if you're the youngest. It doesn't matter that you may be great or older. God blesses you the same. If you fear the Lord, He promises to bless you. You know, I like to think of Psalm 103 when I'm thinking, you know, bless the Lord. We need to bless the Lord and forget not all His benefits. Yeah. You know, God does bless us. Yeah. We need to bless God. Forget not all His benefits. He redeems our lives from destruction. He heals our diseases. He forgives our sins. You know, we can't forget how good God is, how many blessings He does pour out on us. We need to... God blesses us. And then we're to be like Him. That's what in all the teaching, you know, it says those who make false gods, they're like the false gods. They're dead. They're like the dead gods that they make. They're dead and there's no life and there's no love. We need to be like that. We need to bless others. We need to be like God. Verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Amen. Boy, is that a good promise? Amen. The Lord shall increase you. You know, not only will He bless you, He'll bless you more and more, you and your children. Amen. Boy, is that a promise you want to get a hold on to? In fact, in the New King James, there's a may in front of that. You know, may the Lord, like you were praying that for someone or blessing someone with that. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord increase you, you and your children. That's a, you know, that The Lord blesses us, promises to bless our children. And we are to be a blessing to others in that same way. You know, we're to bless, God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. Bless me, Lord, not so that I can just be so blessed, but so that I can be a blessing to others. Let your blessings flow through me, Lord. Bless me more and more, and I'll promise to bless others more and more. Amen?
Yeah.
And then, you know, verse 15, you are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Again, he's telling us, he's repeating the same thing. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This is the Creator. Brings us back to Genesis 1:1. You know? You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Bringing us back right to verse 1 of Genesis 1. So when God, the Creator of all things, Creator of heaven and earth, promises to bless you, that's a blessing. You are blessed of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's a living God. He's a real God.
Amen.
And He blesses us.
Thank you, Lord.
And it says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. That brings us back to Genesis 2. Genesis 1, not Genesis 1 also, not Genesis 2, brings us back to Genesis 1. It says, you know, when God created man, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 27, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he male and female. So, you know, God created us all. We think, well, he created male and female. the male is no more special to God than the female. He created male and female, created he, them. They're both important. And then it says in verse 26, he gave them rule over all the earth. That's what we read also in Psalm 115. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. The heavens belong to God. We don't have any rule in the heavens. It's a good thing. We've messed up the earth pretty good. Can you imagine if we could rule the planets and the stars? I guess the Lord knows better than to give that to us. But he did give us the earth. Yeah, the heavens, even the heaven of the heavens are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. He's given us the earth. He's given us rule over this earth. You know, it belonged to God. God created it. It was his. But he shared his creation with us. He gave it to Adam and his children. It all belonged to the Lord, but he gave the earth to us. So that's a blessing that he's just given us, something that belonged to him. He's let us have it. Verse 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. The dead, those are those that don't know the Lord. They don't praise God.
No.
We're the children of living God, though, so we do praise God.
Amen.
You know, the dead, well, some people would read that and say that the Old Testament didn't have a good idea of what the dead were. They thought when the dead died, they died, they didn't praise God anymore. But I don't think that's what the psalmist is talking about here. I think he's talking about those who are just dead. There's no life in them. They're not living the life that God's given them. They're dead. They're dead in their sin. And they don't praise God. And the reason why Well, he says, neither those that go down into silence. They go down, they're dumb, they're quiet, they don't praise God. Kind of giving us the idea that they can't praise God. They just don't, they don't know God. There's no life of God in them. And they're really sentenced to... So, I mean, it makes me think of a prisoner who's been sentenced to jail. A person who doesn't know God is sentenced to eternity in hell. Like a prisoner who's sentenced to jail. When they walk down, go down into jail, they don't say much. They go down in silence. They just kind of walking down. They go down in silence. They go down. That's kind of the picture here that, you know, a person who is not a child of God, not alive in God, doesn't have the life of Christ in them, they go down in silence. They just go down to no glory. No glory of God, no praising God. Verse 18 says, but we will bless the Lord. We will bless the Lord. We know God's real. We know He's alive. We're going to bless the Lord. And then it says, from this time forth and forevermore. So this shows that the Old Testament saints knew that you'd praise God forever. Amen. You know, the dead don't praise God forever. But the living do. It says, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. In the Hebrew, it's kind of a... Some of the words that Brother Rick McGovern was teaching us in his Isaiah class, two words, ad olam, ad olam, ad kind of ad, a Greek word ad, which means like until. And we're going to bless God until, you know, until. Never stop blessing God, never stop praising God. And then there's another word right after it, olam, which means forever. So we're going to bless God until forever. We're going to keep blessing God and praising God forever and ever.
That's right.
Yeah. What a good eternity, a good future. And then it ends, this psalm ends, praise the Lord.
Amen.
In Hebrew, hallelujah. That's how he ends it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we serve a living God. Hallelujah. He wants us to be living for Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to live for Him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
God is good.
Amen.
So, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Just a little bit of a study that encouraged me, made me want to be more alive, live more for God, because God lives so much for me.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, if we can pray with you, agree with you in prayer, don't hesitate to ask us to pray with you, because God is good and He hears our prayers.
Thank you, Lord.
And He's alive.
Yes, He is.
He's not a He's not a dead God. He's
Amen.
A real God. God is real. Amen?
Yes,
praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said it again. One of my favorite words.